The best in African music, on the World Show with Nikki B.
Well, I'll tell you what, the best in African music is sitting right here with me on the World Show. Welcome to the World Show, Monet.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. You know, I was just looking and I couldn't find it now, but somebody wrote to me when I posted that you were coming and said, on X, and they said, it's about time. And I said, no, it's perfect timing. It's perfect
timing. It really
time.
Is. It's really the right time now. Yeah.
And it really is, because you've just released a new album.
Yes.
But also, Monet, I have to make mention, the Standard Bank Young Artists, I was there.
Yes.
And when you were awarded, I was like, Monet has won it. And not just won it, but won it in the category of music.
Yes, absolutely.
And for me, if I look at the Standard Bank Awards, which I have great respect for, because I can see the impact that that award has had on so many artists' careers. It's not just some of these award ceremonies, you know, credit to them, but where you win an award and you go home and there's no kind of, there's nothing that happens after that.
Yes.
And so I really appreciate also the quality of artists in all the disciplines that are always chosen for that award. So a big congratulations again.
Thank you.
What did it feel like for you?
It was quite nerve-wracking, I think, when I found out, which was way before the announcement. When I found out, I was just like, oh, I don't know what this means. Am I going to get backlash? Are people going to say it should have been somebody else? There was just a lot of doubt. But
did you get an imposter complex?
Yeah, I sort of did, which is not how I feel about myself on an everyday basis. Yes. But eventually, I think as the days were nearing, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is happening.
This is happening.
And also just fully grasping what it means in terms of just, you know, in my career and my growth. And then finally on award night, I was like, oh my gosh, this is real. Like, I was sitting there typing my speech because I hadn't really written anything. And I was like, okay, let me write this quickly, because now it sort of dawned on me that I'm the recipient of this prestigious award. Yeah.
You are the recipient. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if I look at your body of work, for me, it just couldn't have happened at a better time.
Yes.
It's like you've done this amount of work, and now this almost takes you to the next level.
True. Yes.
But I was even thinking, you know, about Imsaki, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she had some impact on also helping, you know, your music get heard.
Truly.
Yes.
With her indie label called Alt Black Continua, she sort of like incubates, you know, a couple of us. So there's myself, Leo Miller, Klanti, and a few other people. And she's been really helpful in that she's using the platform that she has and the access that she has sort of help us sort of young artists just sort of get out there and also be the middleman, especially for spaces that independent artists might not have, because maybe other artists are signed and they have access to, for example, like legal stuff.
Yes.
If an organization comes and say, we want to use your music, and you're like, where do I start?
Yes.
Is this enough? What do all these terms mean? She's sort of been she's been helpful with Alt Black in that, you know, you're able to go then and have access to legal services and support and just safety, just to know that as an artist you can create from a place of health and safety. So she's been really pivotal. Yeah.
Yes, there is a kind of a, I suppose in a way it's also being able, a mentorship aspect.
True,
you know,
absolutely.
In many ways, which is amazing. But again, I've got to also give credit to an amazing artist. If it wasn't for me going to see his show at the State Theatre, which was the first time I ever saw you or even knew about you, and that's Luwena Chivale.
Yes, I love him so much.
And I'm just sorry, I'm going to take a minute, but I went to Luwena's show, which as always is exceptional. It is, you know, he just does amazing shows. But Monet was one of the guests.
Yes, I was.
And I ran backstage and I said, Luwena, where's Monet? I've got to meet this man. Yeah. You just absolutely enthralled me.
Oh,
so it was a beautiful introduction for me. but now moving to now, today is Mother's Day.
Yes.
And I've noticed that you are very close to your grandmother.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to kind of start there.
Yes.
Did you grow up with your grandmother?
I did. You know, my mom had me when she was fairly young, 18. you know. Yes. And she sort of like had to go to varsity and move on with her life and, you know, gather herself really as a teenager. And the parent that I sort of have known for all my life, you know, is my grandmother. You know, my mom, my biological mother, feels more like a sibling.
Yes.
Because I was raised by her mom. And my grandma are really close. Really, really close to a point, you know, I feel like she's the mom that I'll always know. And, yes, you know, even at the Awa ceremony, you got to meet her. She was,
yes,
I brought her there. She was walking there slowly, trying to make way for her. I was like, we're so late, we're so late. But it's just been an honor also being inspired by someone and being able to honor them while they're alive and getting their blessing. You know, she's a traditional vendor woman and she was hoping I was going to be an engineer or something. But I've really gotten a blessing with this. So, yeah, yes, we're really close.
I don't know why, but meeting her and seeing you with her, I got this feeling that she also, even though she wanted you to be an engineer or a doctor or whatever, but she's also had an incredible impact on you as an artist. Would you say that's true?
That is true. She's quite poetic. And I think some of the things that I don't tell her is me mourning what could have been a great musical career of hers if she had lived maybe in a different environment, a different time, a different world, because of how musical she is. She's very poetic, and most times she doesn't even know she's writing songs. She's just humming around what's happening in her life. And I'm like, well, that's essentially a song. That's how I write. And I'm heavily influenced by her. And some of the songs we co-write together.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so amazing. I'll write something and I'll play it for her, like play a demo. And she'll say, well, you could have said it like this. Oh, it's stronger if you say it like this. And then she's sort of like, she's like my supervisor.
You said I was right. I kind of had that feeling.
Yes, absolutely. She's just like, sometimes I don't get a chance to play her the song before I can make changes. And I put it out and she's like, oh, you know, it would have been stronger like this. I'm like, well, it's late now. It's already out. But she's quite musical herself. And she's got this wisdom, and I try to channel her when I write to sort of like find out what well she's you know, she's sort of digging or, you know, pouring from. So yeah.
So she still remains as an inspiration.
Fully, through and through.
Happy Mama's Day, Gogo.
Mama's Day, Makulu.
Yeah. Yes, Makulu is exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
And I want to hear more about how your journey actually started. But I think you've just given me a cue to play the first song.
Oh, yes.
Because it's off your album, Makulu.
Yes, the title. And it's been on the 7th. It's been 4 years.
Years.
Yeah, so I'm also celebrating that.
Happy birthday.
4-year anniversary. Yes. Happy birthday to my first baby.
To your first baby. Yes. But Makulu, now, I explained to you, I said, I'm choosing the song, Monet. It's not off your latest album, which we are going to focus on. But you know how it is when you get an album and you just fall in love with one or two songs and you kind of forgotten the others. And I always say the mark of a good album is when I come back to that album a year later, 4 years later, whatever, and discover new songs.
Yes.
And in preparing for the show, I discovered this one.
Chipiwa.
Chipiwa.
Chipiwa, yes.
Chipiwa. Oh, yes. So you actually pronounce it as an F-H.
Yeah, as an F-H, yeah, Chipiwa.
Oh, Chipiwa.
Yeah.
I've just learned something. Yeah. Yes. Tell me about Chipiwa.
Funny, I was walking on campus. This is long after I'd graduated. I used to go to the university still, the University of Johannesburg. I think I was just struggling to shake it off. It you know, that was...
What did you study?
I studied film and television. This is after being like a chemistry and mathematics dropout in an earlier life. But I guess I'd always love storytelling. But this one time in 2019, I believe, I was walking on campus and I stumbled across, there was this guy walking with a guitar. So I was like, hey man, do you play the guitar? I also play the guitar. And he was like, yes, I play the guitar and I make Maskandi music. And I invited him. I invited him around 2020, like when the lockdown restrictions were a little simpler. He was stuck on campus. I lived down the road and we were just sort of jamming, and I was writing this song about like a love that doesn't really care for circumstances. So in the song, this person is saying, you know, this my love might not be the most handsome person. They might not have much money, but I love them so much.
Yes.
And we were just like these two boys with our guitars playing, and I was just drawing from, you know, my love for Maskandi music. And I think what people don't realize also is, you know, growing up in Venda or growing up in a rural area where you only have access to a radio, like all you heard was music from all over. And so I've always loved Maskandi music, and I think it's so powerful. And yes. Yeah,
and you're a guitarist as well, so I think that's also the connection.
Yeah, so we made the song together, and yeah,
that's beautiful. And his name is
Ogudlum Kuku.
I'm so pleased you said it. Thank you, Monet. Let's hear this track. Chipiwa. Chipiwa. Yes. That sounds so much easier. Monet with us on the World Show. And I'm so, so excited to share this song, but also sounds of his new album, his absolutely beautiful new album, coming up right after this.
On the street, on the air, on the go, download the Kaya app. Sounds to uplift and inspire on the World Show with Nikki B.
Monet on the World Show, and that's that one of his. Oh, there was a little bit. You know, you're full of these little things. All your albums have little, like, very intimate little moments, which I love. Yes, that's off Monet's 2021 release, Makulu and Chipiwa.
Yes.
Chipiwa. Was that right? Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'm getting it. Absolutely beautiful. So, Monet, when you were, I mean, when did you find your voice? Did the voice come before the guitar, or the guitar before the voice?
Definitely the voice before the guitar. I just grew up liking things. I was so curious, especially as a teenager. I was doing spelling bee, debate, public speaking. But then I joined a particular church. I shall not name, because I don't want to, you know, they're a big part of my hurt. But I went to audition for their choir. They had like a church choir that was big. They had a great PA. It was like these mega churches, but back in Venda. And I went to audition and they were like, oh, you sing like you're in the shower. And that just really broke my heart. So then I would listen to
Old
like Joy Celebration records, and I'd like sing along with them.
But it didn't put you off?
Not really. I was just like, this is ridiculous. These people are, they don't know what they're missing out on. You know, as a confident teenager, I was like, they have it mistaken, but I'm not coming back here to sing here. So I was just teaching myself and learning. And then I ended up in a choir that was being conducted by another musician. His name is King D. He makes some beautiful music.
Was this also a church, a different church?
This is cool. This is now in high school.
Yes.
He was one of the students, but he was leading the choir. And, you know, when you're singing in the choir, next thing you're getting a solo. I was just like, well, there must be something I'm doing right. But I think it sort of really hit me when I got to varsity. I was at the University of Venda, and I befriended some people. One of them was Matebu, and another was this girl called Hope. And we had friends who were like also part of a church startup on campus. And one of the friends who used to help out was a guy called Dondi Rams. He's a brilliant musician. So that's actually where I wrote my first song. So I found my voice slowly, and that's where I started playing guitar. So another friend had a guitar that I'd borrow, and when I wasn't in class, you know, a voice skipping chemistry class, I'd be in my dorm sort of playing the guitar.
Self-taught.
Yeah, self-taught. Someone borrowed me a book, and I just read how, you know, this is what makes a chord. And I started strumming away. Then when I moved to the city, which was the following year after I dropped out in 2015, I went to a friend's church. There's a lot of church at the center of this. I went to a friend's church, Grace Point in Glenfinnes in Midrand, and I got there and I asked to play one of the worship leaders' guitars. I was like, can I play a guitar? It's really pretty. And I played it, and he was like, oh, you play really well. Do you have a guitar to practice on? I was like, no, I don't. And he gifted me two guitars.
Amazing.
I know, it's really insane when I think about it. And from there, I just started playing, but I told myself that maybe I should just go to school and honor my grandmother. And then after I finish, then I will make music. But I was still playing guitar. I was still playing at the church, which is sort of my practice. And by the time I was done in 2018, was my final year. In 2019, that's when I put out like my first single, which
album. So in a way, you were still doing it while you were studying.
Yeah,
this, is
I
it?
Was, yeah.
You thought, can't wait till I finish studying so I can put out my album.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Because when I listen to your music, and okay, I don't speak Tshivenda, but you do sing in English as well. But when I listen to your music, it kind of gives me the impression that you've been writing all along.
Mm.
Almost like, you know, just the way you structure your lyrics, the way you work lyrically.
Yeah, but that's where the heavy grandmother influence comes from, especially in Tshivenda. And, you know, it's funny because you say you don't understand Tshivenda, but even other Venda people, I think the young people, a lot of it goes over their heads, because now I'm being raised in this household where the primary parent only speaks a certain language, and at school I'm speaking another language. So there isn't that, you know, crossing of languages in the household.
And you speaking quite deep, coming from a rural area.
Yeah, but also she didn't go to school, so she's also not picking up the new words that maybe have been derived from either Afrikaans or English. She's just speaking the Tshivenda she was speaking in the early 40s.
Yes.
Or, you know, the early 30s.
Yes.
Which is an older dialect. So even when I write, I try to write in the way in which she speaks. You know, so, you know, her euphemisms are also dated,
yes,
just, you know,
but dated, but also archival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost important.
It's intentional in that regard.
Okay,
that I do want to archive that portion of the language, especially because there isn't a lot of mainstream Tshivenda anything. You know, a lot of the books aren't digitized, which sort of are in that dialect. So for me, it's like, how do I, as a contemporary human being, like living in metropolitan Johannesburg, how do I contribute to the preservation of my language, which then speaks directly to my identity? You know, and I think it was so fun when I started then writing in English. People were just like, "Oh, but," and I'm like, "You know, I will always write in Tshivenda." But sometimes there's also an element of relatability, which then we can all meet at a central point that this is a language we all understand.
But is it not sometimes that wanted to be said in either Venda or English, Tshivenda or English? True. I mean, is that also what you find?
There's also that, like, in my expression as a human being, outside of my intention to preserve or my intention to archive, sometimes there's feelings that I have that will just come out in whatever language.
The language that wants to say that.
Yes. I will honor that.
That's the feeling I get when I listen to your music, because sometimes you sing in both languages in one song.
Yes.
You know, most often, I think, actually.
Sometimes I hit a dead end, not in terms of what to say, but, you know, even when I'm speaking with my friends, and one of my closest friends is Ntokozo, you know, he's tuned in.
Hi, Ntokozo.
Hi, Kozo. And, you know, he's sort of learning Tshivenda, because sometimes I'll say something and I'll say it in Tshivenda. Like today, he was telling me, he was on a video call and was like, hey, he was reprimanding his son. And I said, what's your son doing? And he said, he's playing with a box of matches. And I said, wana uri chiswambado, rupanga uri changaet. You know, like you take only the X away from the child, a knife they'll put down on their own. I was like, let him burn his little fingers with a pair of matches. It's not like he's walking to the fireplace.
He'll then know what heat is.
Yeah, so coming back to that, so it's like whatever language this wants to come out in, I honor that.
But again, that's it's like a proverb that you gave him.
Yes.
So again, it's drawing on that, you know, as you say, we there is a chance we can lose those things
Scary.
In this world. Yes.
Scary.
Yes.
Scary thought. Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So now the next album you did, I think, was in 2023. Did you do some singles between?
I put out the... So usually what I do is when I'm putting out a project, I'll put out a single that will be in the project. So the next one was an EP, which is slightly short. I think it was 6 tracks or five tracks. I don't actually remember. But I had put out my EP as a single leading up to the release of
the album.
Yeah, for the boys I like.
For the boys I like. And let's play this one. We spoke about Msaki earlier.
Yes.
And I said to you, I want to focus again more on the new album, which we're going to do in the last half hour here. But I said, which one should I play? I love them all. I love them all. And you suggested this one. My
EP.
My Pfi.
Yes.
Yes. What is it about the song? Why is it special for you?
My Pfi means words, you know, first of all. And I wrote the song on the 17th or 16th of January 2022. And I just woken up and felt like the relationship I was in at the time had ended. But, you know, I like to self-console. So I journal a lot. So my writing was my journal entry where I was saying, you know, the world ends, or rather the world will end, rivers dry up, streams dry up as well, fields burn, you know. But, you know, what of this love? Why shouldn't it end? Why can't it end? Ultimately, that's what I was saying. But that very morning, I had missed this person. So in the pre-chorus, then I was saying, but today I woke up and I thought of you and I thought I should say something, but I'm out of words. My mouth is dry, but my heart is tender. You left me and you hurt me. And I remember we had a songwriting camp like a few months later, and it was facilitated by Alt Black and another organization in the US, and it's sort of like an exchange program. And I was just talking about this song, and we're with Austebza, with Tandin Tuli. It was like all these amazing people in one room, and we were just talking about heartbreak, and I was telling them about this song, and I remember we were just brainstorming, all of us, and I remember Msaki sort of writing, sort of echoing the field burning, and she says, "I'm holding ashes in my hands, and I have endless questions. I lost the ticket to heaven. I can't help it. My heart's really sore." And I was just like, "Oh my God, that just makes so much sense."
It's
and
a collaboration.
Yeah, it's a collaboration. And initially, I think, you know, I had asked Tandi as well to be a part of it, and I was just at a show on Friday, and because she had written this other part in Sesotho as well, or in Setswana, I don't actually remember. And her verse was very short, but she was just saying, "My love, I cannot believe that this love is over." And I was just like, it's just one sentence, but it's so powerful.
It's needed. Yes. Yeah.
Like, "My love, I cannot believe that this love is over. Even if we may not be together, we'll always be together." That's sort of like the essence. But she couldn't, you know, it didn't work out in the way that she wanted. But yeah, it's really special.
But again, I'm having visions now of taking this song and next album or in three albums time, and then getting hurt.
Yes.
Like evolving, evolving the song.
Absolutely. That would be stunning. Yeah, I hope she's tuned in.
Beautiful. Yeah. Let's hear this. Maipfi. Mm-hmm. This one is off Monet's EP, "For the Boys I Like."
Sounds to uplift. Sounds to uplift and inspire on The World Show with Nikki B.
Dear
Yeah, I was waiting for something at the end.
Fortunately, there's nothing on this one. There's
beautiful,
nothing.
Beautiful, yeah. My Hipfi, featuring the beautiful Msaki. Thank you, Msaki, for your work. You know, in promoting and encouraging a young talent. Mm-hmm. And Monet, of course, is with me, and that one is off his album For the Boys. I call them albums because they are,
yes,
even if there's only four songs.
Yes.
An album is an album.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a full body of work.
Yes, it's what needed to be said on in that piece. Cool. Monet, love is the constant theme of your work.
Oh, the bane of my existence. It really is, yes.
Yes, but it's different aspects, don't you think?
It is. I think ultimately all of them are about love, because the sub theme for Makuru was lessons in love, loss and healing, but more from her point of view and her context, or at least from how I've watched her live. And then the second one, For the Boys I Like, was sort of like, hey guys, I know you keep saying I sing about my grandmother, I love her, but I'm also a person, and at this very moment I like these boys.
I love my people.
Yeah, I love these. Yeah, and you know, funny, for the listening session, I invited all the boys I like.
Oh, good.
In one room, and someone walked up to me and they were like, you have a type. I was like, okay, whatever.
Well, I'm like, that's quite courageous, yeah, invite all the boys you like on one listening
session. And for the third one, it's more self-love, but also an ode to someone I really, really loved, who passed away. And it felt when I found out that he passed away, and that the anniversary of his passing is coming up, and it's sort of like, oh, that, yes, shrieking, the discomfort. But I remember finding out and just feeling like I couldn't feel my heart anymore, and just really feeling like that it's just a burning sensation left. But also just,
hence the name of the album.
It's like there's a burning sensation where my heart used to be. And just also going through all of those feelings of grief, but not just grieving this one particular person, but also some hurt, some past hurt where it could have been avoided if I'd chosen myself, it could have been avoided if I'd loved myself more. So there's always that. And you know, for the upcoming work, I'm going to be singing about the love for Venda, the place
that
made
me.
Yeah, so it's always going to be about love, but like you say, in different things.
The different aspects,
yeah,
of
so
love.
That's also got me really
But
excited.
I mean, it's also bold. You speak about that song on this new album, mm-hmm, There's a Burning Sensation Where, mm-hmm, My Heart Used to Be. Mm-hmm. And there's even a point where you're crying in the recording,
yeah,
which again, I'm going to bring back to the word courageous, mm-hmm, because I don't think many artists have ever... Well, I think all work is really exposing yourself.
Mm.
But to that extent, that's something very, very... You've immortalized.
Yes. It's funny because that recording happened closer to just right after his passing. And I remember I was fast asleep and I had this dream. And in the dream, he was there. And we were at someone else's funeral in this dream. And I remember just saying to him, you're not meant to be here. Why are you here? Because I guess, you know, like in the back of like your mind,
yes,
or your consciousness, even though you're dreaming, you're aware that this person is not meant to be there. And he was just smiling. He was just like, I know I'm not meant to be here. Like, let's just focus. Like, just be present in this moment. And I remember just being present in this moment and then just being jolted out of my sleep. I think my brain was just like, yo, fixated on this person's not meant to be here. This person's not meant to be. And I just woke up and I was just like, oh my God, like that really rocked me. And I picked up my guitar. I went to take my guitar from the living room and I was just sitting on my bed and I was just recording. And like the first line, you know, I you know, because it was early in the morning also. And I was just like, I wish you early in the morning, you know, which is sort of like grammatically incorrect. But
yes,
like I wish for you, you know, early in the morning. The morning that I can see, not just the morning in my dreams. All that we used to be, sort of the life we had together. I wish you were here, right here next to me, to love me over and over and over again. Unlike this dream that ends, I want to be loved over and over again. And I broke down, and it was fine because it was just a song idea. So when we went to studio, I'm the one that's sort of like playing the keys. So I was just like, I just told Cliff, who was my recording engineer, I was just recording. I'm going to try play this idea and then we'll see how we build the song because I have the idea on. But it just couldn't translate. And I was like, but I really want this moment to be in this project. So I was like, let's just... So the first part, I recorded in studio, and then I just linked it to that part.
Because okay.
There's no repeating that. There's no repeating what I felt in that moment. And it's not theater, you know. There's no, I need to dig, dig deeper and find it again.
But again, it is art. And surely in art, one should be able to do whatever you want.
Absolutely. I believe in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Free will also do. In art. Yes. Absolutely. You know, if you want to make a fish fly in the sky, you know, it's that kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. Why not? Who says those personal moments? Is it not quite something, though? You go so deeply personal.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, again, doesn't that take courage?
It does take a lot of courage, but I think. I guess the expression is courage. You know, it takes a lot of courage to love.
And to make public.
To express that
level, that depth of love.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, there's no fear in vulnerability, both in real life and in sharing. Obviously, in parts of sharing, I guess, what's going to be consumed publicly, there's a lot of being careful, which I'm okay with. I'm totally okay with that. But I'm not scared to really go there, you know, because those are the feelings I'm experiencing in this particular time. So if I'm scared now and 4 years later, I look back. It's like when I play songs from Makuru, a song like Rufuno, you know, I was grieving a very particular moment in my grandmother's life. That's sort of like where she sort of like resolved and found healing. So now it's got a new meaning for me. So there's also that. There's that maybe 4 years from now, I would have maybe made full... I would have come to peace with the fact that this person is no more. And maybe it'll just be a moment of reflection of their life when I've sort of forgotten their face and I need to look at pictures to remember their face. Then I can say, wow, this person really had an impact on my life. And I might not remember that feeling in my body right now, but there's this record that will always have that. Yeah.
And I think it's also so valuable to be, you know, it's a blessing that you can share that level of, that depth of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Because in, hopefully, the listeners, the audience, and I think that's what touches us with your music, is so often in this society, we don't want to show our vulnerabilities.
Yes.
And it's almost like you give permission for others to be vulnerable because you've done it and because you've immortalized it or you perform it or whatever. And that for me is just such a blessing.
I love that. I mean, I've even taken it a step further. I have this concept. I thought it was going to be a once-off thing, but people have been hounding me for it. It's called Sip and Cry.
Yes.
And it sort of revolves around wine and just like crying and... in a safe space, but I put this poster out and it said Sip and Cry and it had a location and a price and people bought all the tickets, and after they bought tickets they sent messages, they were like, so are we really gonna cry? I was like, that's up to you, I don't know.
But it's also that laugh cry thing, because sometimes you mourn something or you're sad about something, but if you're with your good friend, you'll laugh about it while you're crying, and you know, it's that, it's allowing you to open your heart and be that authentic.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's hear a track of There's a Burning Sensation Where My Heart Used to Be. Holy Lufuno, tell us about it.
Ah, Holy Lufuno. I wrote it maybe a week ago last year.
Yes.
Or because
so we really in and doing anniversaries tonight.
Yeah, so many anniversaries. I remember, I think I wrote it around either a week or two. I was in the US at a residency, and there was this one lady who was participating. Her name is Noga. When we got to the residency, she was not feeling well. It was like a 4-week residency. She wasn't feeling well for like the 2 weeks. The third week is like the final music making week, and the fourth week we go on tour, like to tour the music we've been making.
Yes.
So she finally got better towards the end of the final week, and I was sitting with her and just thinking, oh my gosh, we have so much in common, and this is the first time I'm actually encountering you out of the 23 other people who are here, and I felt so sad. I was like, oh, we could have made so much music. And at the time, there was this person that I loved so much who had not been in my life, who had had like a big falling out, and I just missed him, and I sent him a message, and I was like, I'm so far away, so I'm going to give myself permission to miss you, because even if you don't miss me, it's fine. Maybe I'm just homesick. I can give myself a valid excuse for feeling this way. I'm homesick. I haven't spoken to you since last year. I really miss you, and the world is so different here, and I have a different perspective. And he responded back, and I just kept thinking how it doesn't matter how much time will pass between me and this person. I'll always love them. I'll always care for them. And I was telling Noga this, and you know, like what came to me was, this love is going to kill me, which is the first line, like, and I was just telling her what I'm saying. And she just instinctively wrote that opening verse, which I felt made so much sense to be the first verse, because we were both sort of like going through similar things at the time. But it's really just about this love that is somewhat toxic, but you're like, you know what? Whatever, if I die, I die. A little toxic, maybe not a little, but yeah, that's what it's about.
I always think I'll never stop loving you.
Yes.
But thank goodness you're over there and I'm over here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm past that now, in case anyone is wondering. Yeah.
Monet with us on The World Show, bringing us absolutely beautiful music. And this one, Holy Lufuno, as you've heard, he is joined by Noga, and it's on his new EP, There's a Burning Sensation, Where My Heart Used to Be.
On the street, on the air, on the go. Download the Kaya of Healing and Inspiration on The World Show with Nikki B.
have to play the end.
Yes.
Monet's always got these little secrets, these little moments on all his albums. You can never, if you think the song's finished, it might not quite be. Absolutely beautiful. So he's come with his guitar, so he's going to bless us, because you know, I'm always feel blessed when there's a little bit of life on the World Show. So I'm going to give it to you, Monet. I can see that you're still just tuning it a little bit.
Tuning a little bit.
Yes.
Live on air, why not?
Yes, absolutely. Don't forget the World Show. It's like being in my lounge at Kaya.
Yes. I feel very comfortable here. Yes. I love it here. Okay. I'm going to sing a new song.
Yes.
And I love the song so much.
A new one. We are really blessed.
It's a new
blessed.
One. Yes, we're all so blessed. It's a new one. And this is coming out of the project that I'm sort of working on for my homeland, which is Venda.
Yes.
The Republic of Venda. And yeah, I hope I get it right.
You will. It's going to be perfect.
This one's called Shumela Venda, which is the slogan of the Bantustan. It means we strive for Venda at all times.
Wow. Monet. Oh, thank my you. Goodness. My week's going to be absolutely beautiful. So what are you saying?
This is heavy. I feel like now that I'm grown, I can move on to like the heavy, intense political subjects. But Shumiravenda is, you know, obviously as a slogan for the Republic of Venda at the time, a lot of people sort of bought into that, into the Bantustan like idea. It was sold as, oh, you know, if you're independent, you can do your own thing. You can sort of like strive for a better Venda.
Yes.
When it was just like, I guess, a removal of being a part of a greater South Africa. But what I'm singing about is the current sort of sentiment that people hold. You know, they hold it as, we love this place and we want to make it work. We want to keep the economy in this particular place called Venda. But for me, it I'm asking so many questions. I'm asking questions sort of like studying it in 1990, where this one army general of the Republic of Venda, begged by some allies, sort of took over the government. And it was a bloodless coup at the time, and his name was General Ramoshwana. And people took to the streets and they were protesting, like, tell Ramoshwana to bring back, you know, the government. It's not his family's, you know, for a better term.
I'm not gonna say. It says it all.
Yes. But I'm also like looking at that government and how people were unhappy, and like just the current government and how like I'm an unhappy.
Yes, how tough it is.
Yeah, it's so tough. I'm in my 20s and I'm just like, oh my God, I didn't even live through that period. But yes, I feel like whatever struggles people had then, I have them now. And I'm also referencing very specific moments in that sort of interlap, or like that the timelines interlap between like then and now. You know, we had the Venda Bank Society, and you know, I grew up seeing the office just as we drove into town, and it's no more, you know. And I also speak about the idea of like the kings that we have, you know, the king of Venda and all of that. There's a lot of debate around that at the moment, like who's the rightful heir to the throne. So it's like current affairs, but in Venda, because for me, Venda feels like this place that's removed from the greater world. People get dabs, little pieces of that. So I'm just saying, well, this is my world, and I know all about what happens in there, and I can sing about that. And myself and people who are from there will have context, and those who don't have context can then inquire, and then they can know more. And it's just a way of sharing and inquiring and asking questions and investigating, and again archiving stories that might not be mainstream or might not be being spoken about in 2025.
Absolutely. And I mean, we spoke about that when you came in, and I'd spoken to you about Venda, how
yes,
in many ways it's almost like kind of a marginalized, one of the you know, pushed aside,
yeah,
overlooked,
absolutely,
is yes, probably the word,
yes,
I want to
very
use.
Very overlooked, yeah.
And yet there's such a profound beauty in the spirituality of the place,
yes,
and of the people, and a musicality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw the biggest drums I've ever seen in my life in
Venda. In Venda, yes.
Yes.
People don't know that. Like, we have a big drum, like, culture that goes from just everyday life to spirituality, and betrays to, you know,
yes,
and. Yeah, absolutely.
So I really look forward to hearing your representation,
yes,
of your beautiful culture.
It's going to be so beautiful. I'm committed to this. This is my lifelong commitment. So
yes,
there's still going to be so much more of that. Yeah.
So much more. I can't wait. Now, one thing I must mention before... Oh, we've got to play the last song. Mm-hmm. But one thing I must mention, Joy of Jazz.
Yes.
You're part of the lineup. What
exciting,
a beautiful,
exciting,
beautiful lineup. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited again to see you playing. I won't miss that. And also, you're doing the National...
the National Arts Festival.
Arts Festival.
In Wakanda, yes.
In Wakanda. And yeah, and anything else you might want to mention?
Well, I would like to mention that in Makanda, I'm going to do a more intimate show before the big show. There's always going to be a big show that, you know, the young artist puts on. But I want to do something really intimate, like a sip and cry of sorts.
A sip and cry.
And it's cold in Makanda. We can have some glue van and we can just sort of sit there and get to know each other, because I think that's such a big part of my career.
And for something like that, would you play solo?
Yes, I'm going to play. It's going to be a warm, maybe a trio. Just Robin Fassi on horns, Monet on guitar.
Oh, beautiful.
And Jeffrey on bass. Just warm. We're sitting on cushions and we're just cuddling up.
Yes,
yeah,
beautiful. And we are running out of time, but you've got another collective that I'm so excited about. Tell us about the three
of
you.
So I'm also part of a collective called Itumo.
And yeah, that's really exciting. We also just made it on the Bushfire lineup,
which is amazing because you don't have an album yet.
Yeah, we don't have an album yet.
And who is it?
It's Mune, me, and then there's Kekelingo that people know from the Muffins, but he's also got his own beautiful catalog, and the lovely Leo Mile from Lesotho.
I can't
like
wait for this one.
Yes,
those three.
Yes,
you are something special.
Powerhouse.
Yes, Mune, thank you so much for joining us, thank you for this music. You are touching people's hearts. I'm telling you, you know, just seeing the responses when I said you were coming onto the show, people, you know, yes, yes, yes. Yes. So thank you. Keep doing what you do best. You are doing it so magnificently.
Thank you.
And we're going to end with What Do I Do?
Yes.
Which is a collaboration with?
Yeah. With my, it's myself. It's Khoza Zwane, the one who with the fire earlier.
Yes.
And the amazing Thando Zide.
And it's off Mune's album. Yeah. There's a
burning sensation where my heart used to be.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mune.
Thank you, Nikki, and all the listeners. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Thanks to you for listening to The World Show. And of course, happy Mother's Day once again to all the moms in all your different forms, wherever you are. May you be blessed and have a fantastic week. Whatever else you do, make sure you keep shining. And I'm going to end tonight's World Show with What Do I Do, Mune. Khoza Zwane and Thando Zide are featured on the track of Mune's album. Go out and get it now if you haven't already. In fact, get all his albums, that's what I would say. There's a burning sensation where my heart used to be.
Songs of healing and inspiration on The World Show with Nikki B. 959.
Rhythm and beat.